Hi, folks. This is Brad Bright, and this is the God is Issue podcast, where we show how God is the issue in every issue. You know, it's the beginning of a new election season, and people are excited. Politicians, reporters, political junkies. But what about the rest of us? Who else is excited? You know, oh boy, I get to watch political ads now. Or, you know, election season is kind of like, okay, Tommy, time to take your medicine. Open wide. Folks, that's our perspective, isn't it, much of the time? But have you thought about what is God's perspective? What is God's perspective? You know, God says in Matthew 25, we're to be stewards of everything that he gave us. We can be a good steward. We can be a bad steward. Now, in America, God gave each of us a vote. Have you ever thought about the fact that your vote was given to you by God? It was given to you by the Creator God himself. He made you the steward of one vote. He didn't give it to anyone else. He gave it to you. Now, you can say, I will vote as shrewdly as I can, asking God for wisdom. Or you can say, there aren't any good candidates, so I just won't vote. Which one is more likely to be you? See, you have the opportunity to invest your God-given vote. Or you can bury it just like the unfaithful servant in Matthew 25. Now, I know many of you are saying, Brad, but what if there really aren't any good candidates? What do I do? And that's a good question. You see, you're saying, I want to be a good steward of the vote God has given me, but I'm truly stuck. So let me back this conversation up a little bit. And let me ask you a question. Do you like the America you see today? Do you? Or would you like to help change America? Changing America really starts with investing your vote. Don't bury it ever. Now, let me explain why. So you see, some people believe that politics is the art of compromise. They think politics is the art of compromise. It's not. If that is how you view politics, then you first need to change how you see politics. Only then will you understand why you must always invest your vote in every single election. You see, politics is not the art of compromise. Politics is the process of incremental change. Did you catch that? Politics is the process of incremental change. It's the process of taking one step after the next toward your ultimate goal. And sometimes, folks, it can be a very, very small step. Let me ask you. How do you eat an elephant? We all know the answer to that, right? One bite at a time. How do you move a mountain? One shovel full at a time. How do you make $1 million? $1 at a time. Why is politics any different? You know, when you start thinking it's all or nothing, I can't compromise, you're going to get nothing every single time because that reflects a fundamental misunderstanding of what politics is and how to bring about change. But when you start thinking, what's the next step? What's the next baby step? Now you are empowered to go where you want to go. Let me ask you a question. What is the most important step in any process? Is it the first step? Is it the last step? Is it the third step? Is it the 10th step? I don't think it's any of those. And yet it's all of those, you see, because the most important step in any process is always the next step. Because if you don't take the next step, it's over. You're done. Politics is the process of incremental change. It's the process of always taking the next step, no matter what. And always vote with that in mind. You see, if you dig, you can always find differences between candidates. I'm going to put an article up on brightmedia.org, brightmedia.org, that's our website, and it'll give you a helpful grid for evaluating candidates. It's entitled Voting Tips. So go look for the article. You can print it off. You can give it away. You have my permission. But let me say, in addition to that, never forget to use your common sense. Common sense is important. For example, here's one thing that most people completely overlook when they're facing two candidates, neither of which they like. If the choice is between two awful candidates, and one is 40 years old and one is 65 years old, who do you vote for and why? Well, all things being equal, you will vote for the 65-year-old candidate because he or she is probably going to die sooner and therefore will be around a shorter period of time to do damage. Folks, that's just common sense. Be practical when you vote. You can always find differences, but always ask God to help you be shrewd when you vote. But folks, if you really want to help change America, voting is not enough. You have some work to do. I know many of you think, but Brad, I don't have time. Really? You don't have time to pray about the upcoming election? You don't have time to research just one candidate? You don't have time to chat with like-minded friends about the issues and the candidates? You don't have time to knock on doors and hand out flyers for the candidate of your choice even one Saturday morning in the next 10 months? Really? You can't write a check for $10 to the candidate who you think best embodies God's perspective? Is that really what you're saying to me? You have time. You just don't have time to do everything. No one does. And let me tell you, that's where I can help. At the end of this podcast, I want to provide you with just a little, very simple toolbox that will help you get started. But before we even go there, let me ask you some questions to really help you look at the bigger context of what we're doing here. Where do candidates come from? Do they spring ex nihilo from the earth? You know, let there be candidates. Voila, and there are. No. Do they grow on trees? No. Seriously, where do candidates come from? They come from your community. Where do bad candidates come from? They come from your community. Where do good candidates come from? They come from your community. They come from your churches. How do candidates win? They win by getting more votes than the next guy. And how do they get more votes than the next guy? By having a vision, working hard, inviting people to work with them, and then to vote for them. It's really that simple. So here's the choice. You can get out there and you can do your part, no matter how big or small that is, or you can stay home whining that there are no good candidates. If you choose to stay home and whine, I promise you, you will get more of the same in the future. However, if you choose to do your part, you know, working with the candidates that best align with your vision for America, you might just be able to end up voting for a godly candidate who seeks to live, speak, and vote with their Bible open. That'd be kind of nice for a change. Now then, I can hear some people screaming in the background, separation of church and state, separation of church and state. I mean, I can hear you almost. You know, your problem is you don't know what separation of church and state is. You think you do, but you've been lied to. Separation of church and state means the government may neither require nor censor religious speech or practice. That is why the founders put both the Establishment Clause in the Constitution and the Free Exercise Clause. They put both in. Too many anti-God folks conveniently leave out the Free Exercise Clause, and they perpetuate the myth that separation of church and state is a one-way street. It's not. As Americans, we, and this includes candidates and elected officials and bureaucrats and teachers, we can say anything we want. We can believe anything we want, religious or non-religious. The government must stay out of it because the government may neither require nor censor religious speech and practice. The government must wear a gag, according to the Constitution. That's what separation of church and state means. The government may neither require nor censor religious speech or belief. It's pretty simple, except for those who want to make God disappear. Now back to the issue at hand. If you want to vote for godly candidates, you're just going to have to do some work. There's no way around it. Don't tell me you don't have time. If you tell me you don't have time, what I'm going to hear is, I just don't care that much. Now, God forbid that you may have to miss watching a college football game on Saturday morning. Now then, I know that's a sacrifice for some people. That's a sacrifice for me. I love college football. But folks, if you're not willing to forgo that in order to help shape the America your kids and grandkids will grow up in, then you're a self-centered narcissist. Really? Someone needs to tell you that. Are there any sacrifices you're willing to make to help reshape the future of America? Comfort, time, money, shoe leather, football games? Can you think of one thing you're willing to sacrifice? If you thought of one thing that you're willing to sacrifice, that's a good start. Now, I know many of you are now saying, but Brad, I don't know where to start. You're not alone. And I can help you with that. See, our informal mantra at Bright Media is, you can do it and we can help. You see, we want to help, but we can't do it for you. You see, there's a little booklet called Your Seven Duties as a Christian Citizen. My dad wrote it 45 years ago to help Christians better engage as salt and light in American culture. I revised it a few years ago to update it for the current cultural setting. Think of it as your starting toolbox for helping to change America. The first duty in there is to pray. See, because unless you believe you're smarter than God, you need his wisdom. And the last duty is to make God the issue. Why? Because we can trace all our human problems to our view of God, whether on a personal level or a cultural level. Folks, the booklet is very simple. It's very practical. It's basically, if you want to accomplish X, do Y. It's a quick read, and it will help you get started. Now, you can order a pack online so you can give some to friends as well. You know, if you don't know where to start, you know a lot of your friends don't know where to start either. They have the same problem. So make sure you get extras to give to friends. Go to brightmedia.org. That's brightmedia.org. Order a copy. Don't wait. And folks, get started today. The election season is upon us. Now, in the future, so you know, we will also have a free e-version of Your Seven Duties as a Christian Citizen at brightmedia.org. So check back here in a few weeks, and we'll have that up for you as well. So your kids and grandkids will probably be grateful to you in the future. But I'm sure there is one person you will be very glad you did it for, yourself. You will be glad you ordered the booklet and read through it because it's going to help you get started. Folks, you may not enjoy the election season. I get that. But you can make a difference. You can do something. You can't do everything, but you can do something. You see, elections were designed to give a voice to the little guy. They were designed to give you a voice. Never, never forget that. A friend of mine, Sue Trombino, who lives down in Florida, she loves to say, when we show up, we win. You see, God says we are stewards of everything he gives us. He each gave each of us a one vote. We can be a good steward or we can be a bad steward. But I can assure you that this election season, you are a steward of the one vote he gave you. Use it wisely and never forget that. God is the issue in every issue, especially when it comes to electing candidates who can help lead us away from the darkness and back to the light. This is Brad Bright. Thanks for joining me today. And if you found this podcast helpful, please like, subscribe, or share. God bless.